Sawadee Kup. Welcome back to another edition of House of Attilius Presents, the True Victory Podcast. So I am Eric Rook. So I want to jump right in here today. So depending on where you're listening from, we had the anniversary of the 9/11 event here stateside. And one of the things I wanted to kind of bring up is I saw a lot of comments from people that, you know, that tragedy brought us all together. You know, it just, it's like a lot of our differences went to the wayside and just brought us together, you know, as a collective, I guess, if you will. And how they wished, you know, we were still together, because, you know, we're more separated now as a society than we've been quite a long time, if ever. And my whole thing with that is, you know, every time there is a massive tragedy that happens, you know, it brings together a community, it brings together a country, it brings together, you know, we'll stretch it to the world or whatnot. But as soon as, you know, those immediate effects kind of start to wane a little bit, and it's not, you know, when it happens, it's like everything comes together. And then the longer it gets away from the actual event, you know, the date that it happened, we go back, we fall into our normal lives again, and we're at each other's throats and everything else. So the whole thing is, you know, we rely, let me backtrack a little bit. I don't want to say we rely, but we almost, I think, expect we need something massive to bring us together, a tragedy to bring us together. And that's the wrong way to think about it. You know, it's great that we can come together when tragedy does strike. But why can't we do the same thing without a tragic event being the catalyst for us to come together? You know, we are such a stubborn society. And, you know, we don't want to change. We want everything to stay the same. And I'm using we. Now, some people might say, well, I'm not like that. I want to change and so forth. Here's the whole thing. We're in this together. All right. We're working towards, or we should be working towards, the same goal. You know, what we want for society. Unfortunately, we have just a lot of back and forth, fighting, struggling. People are afraid. Some are, some aren't, but I think largely people are afraid. Why are people are afraid? Because society is changing. I'm not talking about politics. I'm not talking about, you know, some of the other stuff going on. But as a whole, society is advancing. We are changing, and people are scared of that. We've been used to one way, one type of society for so long. It's been ingrained in us. There's a comfort level with that. Everything's balanced. We might not have been happy with everything the way it was moving, but there was a balance. And then what happened is like one day that balance was just totally knocked off its center. And now we have a lot of different people trying to pick up the pieces, put things back together. Some want to take it back to how things used to be or were. Okay, so they want to backtrack. Other people, they want to grab those pieces, put them together, and form a new journey, a new path. Okay. And there's a lot of, again, back and forth with this, because some people don't want a new path. They're afraid of it. It's different. Maybe they feel like they're not going to fit in. So they're going to fight it tooth and nail. And the ones that want to keep it, everything like the old way, well, the people that want to move forward don't necessarily agree with the old ways. And so we have this You have kind of like, a tectonic plates here, two sides are kind of crossing each other. And then you're getting to the point now where they're starting to bang into each other, cause that friction, boom. And really, change is inevitable. Change is needed for growth. We can stay the same for the next 50 to 100 years. And I don't think there's any benefit in that personally. Somebody can disagree with me. Now, I'm not saying everything has to be changed across the board, but change is growth. Change is good. As long as you're open to accept the change and learn from it and adjust to it. And I'm not saying that you have to give, people don't have to give up everything that they've learned or everything in life to adapt to this change. You still have your individuality, which is really a good thing to kind of keep hold of. But you should also be open to exploring new avenues, because it might open up something in you that you might not recognize staying in the same place as before. Okay. There's really nothing to be afraid of with change. There really isn't. For all the people that are out there that call others, sheep and, all these other terms, if you will, it's my opinion that they are probably the most afraid of change. And really, the term sheep, as much as I hate that term in general, I'm a lion, you're a sheep. Well, you're following somebody else's path as well. All right, so if you want to use the term sheep, you are no more, we're sheep together, if you want to look at it that way. All right, it's just, we got to stop with the term, stop putting each other down, stop being at each other's throats, and work together for once. We don't have to agree on everything. That's not probably ever going to happen, and that's fine. But to be open and have a healthy discussion about things that we disagree on and come to some sort of resolution or compromise is what we really need. But we're in a place with all this change going on right now. Nobody wants to listen to the other person. It's all finger pointing. It's everybody's fault but mine. My way is the right way. Your way is the wrong way. Back and forth we go. Really, it's a mess. It's a total mess right now, but it's not completely broken either. Okay. We need to start, so let me kind of dive back here a little bit. Kind of cliche, but everybody wants to change, most people want to change the world. How do we change the world? We think a lot of times big events will change the world. Big events will rock the world. They may alter some laws and some other things, some mindsets and stuff, on how you view another culture, another race, etc., stuff like that. But you're really not changing the world, okay? In order to change the world, it starts with one person, just one. And that one person is you. That one person is me. That one person is your neighbor, okay? Meaning that we cannot change the world if we're not willing to change ourselves. You can't put a Band-Aid on, what's wrong with, we can't put a Band-Aid on our suffering and expect to go out into the world and make changes. It's just not going to hold up. It's not going to work. And people are just going to see through it all. Okay. So how do we start with this process of changing the world? Okay. What we need to do is recognize in ourselves. We need to see our suffering, our own suffering clearly. Okay. We all have suffering to various degrees. And we really need to take a look deeply and see what is the cause of our suffering that's causing us to act out in this way, causing us to have this opinion about something, this very negative opinion about something or somebody. You know, there's a whole, it's going down the rabbit hole with this thing. But we need to see our suffering clearly. Because if we don't see it clearly, we're never going to be able to advance. We're never going to be able to offer anything really much to society to help change it as a whole. Okay. Now, we're all afraid sometimes of what we might find when we go looking at the suffering, our suffering. It takes courage, you know? And again, we may not like what we see when we really dive that deep into it, but we need to dive that deep. Even if we don't like what we see, we need to understand its roots, okay? What's the cause of our suffering? Let's get to those roots, not bury them. And that's what I see a lot of people doing, is burying their suffering, their roots, okay? They know what's there for the most part. They know kind of what causes it, but they don't want to deal with it. They just want to bury it and hope it goes away and then move forward like it never happened. You're seeing that played out on a grand scale in society, you know, where everything from the past is targeted. Something somebody said, something, you know, I mean, that's the extreme, you know, where everybody's attacking everything. But the only thing they're not attacking is themselves. All right. History is there as a lesson. History, you know, we can't go back to previous generations and say, oh, this, you know, society has grown. We have grown in a way where things were acceptable at one point and now things are not. And that's fine. We need to recognize that. But not completely erase the past or try to, because you're never going to erase it. If you take down a monument, if you censor somebody or whatever because of what they said 20, 30 years ago, whatever it is, it really, if you look at it, it still exists. It's still there. You might not have the visual of something on a daily basis or whatnot. You might not hear something on a reoccurring basis anymore, but it's still there. It still existed. It's a part of history to some degree. The only way that stuff gets erased is when future generations come along and it gets forgotten to a bigger degree. But again, to understand suffering, to dive deep and explore the roots of suffering and not bury them, is only going to help us become that much better and that much stronger at dealing with things in society, along with ourselves. This is why it's critical that we take the time to really recognize our suffering. And unfortunately, this is like a first stage that a lot of people are just not going to make it past. You know, we've all said things, we've all done things in our life that maybe we're not happy with, you know, different times when we, you know, there's times when I grew up, there's things that we said, there's things that we did as kids. It was the norm. We didn't think much else of it. Nobody really took offense to it that we were aware of. Now to say a lot of these things, you know, now, yeah, it's just not acceptable, you know, but again, you have to look at the times that we went through. And I'm not trying to paint a picture, well, it was okay because it was back then. It's just, there's a culture, there's a shift, you know, and you have to look at everything and why this happened then and why it's unacceptable now and everything else. So, the most important thing is again, recognizing things that maybe you didn't realize were harmful towards others or towards society in general, and not burying them, but owning up to it and understanding why you said or did these things. And then making a vow not to go down that same path with those again, because now you have that knowledge, you're a little bit smarter and wiser, and passing that along to others, okay, so they don't make those same mistakes. Now, once we recognize, we want to dive or journey through our path towards encouragement, which basically what I mean by that is we want to be able to find peace and joy in life. We want to be able to see real happiness is possible if we can stop ingesting the nutriments, that cause us to suffer. And the one thing we need to realize through this whole peace and joy and happiness is the greatest miracle at all, or is it, excuse me, greatest miracle of all is to wake up every day and realize that you're alive. When you can realize that, no matter what you've got going on, you can have debt coming out your ears. You can, have just gone through, maybe you're going through a divorce, separate, whatever it is. You wake up every morning, you look out your window, you step outside, look around you, look up at the sky, really look at just everything, life in general. It is the greatest miracle to wake up every morning and be a part of what you have around you. Everything else that can cause the negativity is just a facade. It's all temporary if you want it to be. But this world, life around you, again, that's the real miracle. That is not temporary. Okay. One of the things that can help us with encouragement once we journey to this portion is mindfulness. All right. So when we become mindful, or how we can practice mindfulness, mindful walking. Okay, we can sit and be mindful. We can eat and be mindful. You are at this point savoring everything that you do. You're experiencing everything that you come in contact with. When we eat, we're a society a lot of times that just will shovel food down without thinking about it, just because, okay, I've got this, I got that, and da da da. But if you take the time to really savor what you're eating and just focus on that, you're going to find peace and comfort in that. If you're out walking, maybe you're walking your dog, maybe you're walking with your kids, maybe your spouse, whatever it is. And if you're just distracted by everything you've got going on in life and your mind isn't really in tune, I'm just going to get out and walk. You're not really experiencing life. You're not experiencing, nature at that point. You need to let your mind go and just take in everything that's around you. Okay, mindful hearing, the birds that are up in the trees, the wind as it blows past you. Absorb all this stuff when you're out in society, out in nature, and just embrace it. Let it affect you in a positive way. Just be more mindful of your surroundings and take all that in. Don't take it for granted. Okay. It's only going to help you to become more mindful. It's going to help you open up more in the long run. Now, as we're still in this encouragement phase, we have to remember this is our learning phase. And really with everything, we're always learning and we're always evolving. But especially in this encouragement phase, we learn, okay? We learn by reading. We learn by listening. We learn by discussing. But when we do these three things, we also have to learn that we need to be open so we can see the ways to put what we learn into practice. Now, being open is where we have a problem, because a lot of people say they want to listen, they want to learn, they want to discuss, but they're not open-minded. So what do you have? You have somebody that has shut off. They might hear what you say, but it doesn't register because they've closed that portion of it off. They're not interested. They may read something that you give them that might give them more knowledge on said subject, but maybe they're stubborn. They don't want to listen to it. They don't want to, you know, acknowledge anything with it. So they'll read it, but it's just words that don't turn into anything for them. And discussions. People who aren't open will have a tendency to argue versus discussion or discuss with somebody something. Okay. A lot of people cannot discuss subjects rationally with others without arguing, without shouting, okay, without talking over the other person. Those people don't want, basically those people, your opinion doesn't matter at that point to them. It's their opinion, they're right, you're wrong. This is why they talk over you. This is why they will shout. This is why they all argue with you. And when you hit them with truth, in a logical sense, in a calm voice, it irritates them even more because they know that you're right in what you're saying. They just don't wish to acknowledge that. Okay. So you need to be as open as possible with others, even if somebody else is not going to be open in return towards you. You know, it's not our job to change the other person. Okay, somebody that is going to become more open, that isn't at the present time, they're going to have to want to. You can't force them to do it. And it's going to take time, and they may never get to that point. It's just all dependent on them. But as long as we carry on with an open mind and open to discussing things in a calm, rational, understanding manner, that's a win for us. Okay, so keep that in mind. Also, very important, we can learn all we want. But if we do not follow what we learn by reflecting and practicing it on a regular basis, it is not true learning. We're not going to retain it. It's not going to be of as much benefit to us at all. And again, I think that's another area where a lot of people kind of fall through. They're willing to learn, and learning is great, knowledge is great, and everything. You can build the world's most filled knowledge bank of everything that, you know, is benefit, that you feel is a benefit to you. But if you're going to sit on it and not reflect and not practice on a regular basis, what's the point? All right. It's kind of like the old saying, there's book smarts and then there's street smarts. Okay. Well, take the two of those together, play around with it. And there you go. But so just remember, if learning is not followed by reflecting and practicing, it is not true learning. And we want to have that true learning, because again, that's how we're going to get to a point to where we find peace and joy, and we can see that real happiness is possible. All right. So if I haven't lost you thus far yet, you know, we really, as we pass through, you know, the encouragement phase of our journey, and we hit to the realization. And this realization phase for us is where we need to, once we know what the root of our suffering is, we can see all these things clearly, and we have ways that can help us through mindfulness and so forth to help, you know, overcome and eliminate this suffering. We need to basically vow that we're never going to do whatever's causing our suffering again, and just stop ingesting those nutrients that keep causing our suffering to rise to the surface. That, I think, in itself is one of the hardest things to do, because whatever those, when we dive and we see the roots of whatever our suffering is, you know, it's the hardest thing to overcome. It's the hardest thing to get past, because your mind is wired in a certain way, and it has been probably for a number of years. And now you're trying to get away from it. And you might have little bouts where you struggle in the beginning. All of a sudden, as we get a little bit more into it, okay, it's not much of an issue, but then there's something that pulls us back in. You know, and it might just be maybe we dip our toe into the water. Well, this one little thing is not going to, you know, hurt. But that one little thing might just trigger everything to fall back to where it was, where you don't want to be. So it's important through this phase is to stick with it, not give up, not being like, okay, this is impossible, I can't do this. You can do it. It's just going to be hard to get to that point to where you want to let go, or not where you want to let go, but where you feel that you can effortlessly let go of something and where it doesn't impact you anymore. Okay. I went through this actually just recently with something that's been plaguing me for a number of years. Now, you know, I've traced this one issue back to its roots, to its inception. And I can tell you the exact time, where, how it happened, and just why it just took hold. And I've known this for a long time. And it's always been a struggle for me. And so, ironically, truth be told, when I went to Sedona a few weeks back for my Tibetan monk healing session, you know, post that session, that one thing that has plagued me my entire, for, well, better part of my life, is gone. Now, I'm aware that it still exists. It still hangs and whatever. But it's interesting to me that it just isn't a factor in my life anymore. And as a getting through that, I've seen changes in myself and how my life is unraveling, or not unraveling, unfolding, and everything else. So it's a huge plus. But it's just funny how the, you know, I struggled with getting past this point or getting past it up until, you know, a few weeks ago and stuff. So it can be done, you know. It's just finding something that helps you sometimes and everything. So, but again, you know, always be aware of your suffering. Vow, you know, that you're not going to do the same things to bring that back and everything. And again, because your mind is wired like mine was for so many years away, it's one of those things. It's, you know, kind of like a drug. And once you get away from that, you know, and realize it's just, you have a certain calm feeling. You have a certain certain zen, I guess we'll just say, you know. So I just, yeah, you know, but now I'm well aware too, you know, it can always rear its ugly head again if you allow it to happen. But, you know, and which has been a problem for a number of years, you know, you get away from it and then creak open that door a little bit and then boom, it's right back. But I don't feel that happening now because it just, I'm in a different place. I'm in a different mindset with everything. And not only because I've grown so much, just but because of kind of what I experienced a couple of weeks ago with the monks. So, you know, so again, I guess what I'm just kind of trying to kind of emphasize here to people is just, you know, you need to get away from whatever is plaguing you, whatever is affecting you. And, you know, don't lose sight of stepping away from it, even if it keeps pulling you back in continuously. We have to keep at it if we want to move on to the next phase. Okay, so realization, very important. Okay. And then once we get to our final destination on our journey, okay, this is our way out of suffering. Okay. These things will lead us out, but we have to learn how to practice each of them. So again, we go through recognizing, encouragement, realization. Okay. And then we come to our way out of suffering. And our way out of suffering is the following, okay? It's right view, okay? Right thinking, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right diligence, right mindfulness, and right concentration, okay? And again, these are all going to lead us out of suffering. But at this point, we do not know how to practice them. We have to learn how to practice them. Now, I'm not going to go into all these different things right now. It's a whole different segment and stuff like that. But again, you know, at this stage, we should be seeing that our path has everything to do with, excuse me, the path has everything to do with our real difficulties in life. Okay, a practice that does not concern our real suffering is not a path we need. Okay, many people are awakened during a difficult period in their lives when they see that living irresponsibly, you know, has been the cause of their suffering, and that by transforming their lifestyle, okay, they can bring an end to their suffering. And that's what we all should strive to, is just transforming our lifestyle and bringing an end to our suffering. Okay, so transformation is going to be gradual throughout the whole process. And that's the one thing we have to remember. None of this stuff is done overnight. None of this stuff is done within a week. Okay. This is an ongoing process where we learn to grow, to heal. We might be doing this up until the day we leave this life. And that's fine. Because everything that we learn on our path should also be things that we pass on to others coming up behind us. Okay. So really, I just wanted to touch base with this episode and kind of maybe get your minds to start thinking in a different way when it comes to suffering and looking at your life and identifying the suffering and moving through the process to heal and so forth. Okay. So again, I thank you so much for listening, and I hope you have all got something out of this today. If you have any questions on any of this, feel free to reach out to me through my Instagram at @house_of_Attilius or through my website at www.houseofattilius.com. And Attilius is spelled Attilius. Okay. I'll be more than happy to answer anything that you swing my way. But until next time, remember, true victory is victory over oneself. And have an amazing week. I'll talk to you all soon.